you're in this church community, you're part of this church community, if you attend here, the heart this year is very simple. That we'll have a blueprint in our life that Christ is enough in whatever we do and face. And that we'll be a people, albeit if you're a family or your small group or you, just on a mission with the Lord, that you will be building your house on the rock. And we know that Christ says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, if you listen to all of these words of mine, not just listen, not just come to church and listen, but if you go and practice it, if you act upon it with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will be found upon the rock. Because what did we say? Is there any distinction between the guy on the sand and the guy on the rock? Is there any distinction concerning the storms of life? No, they both get it. So the mere fact that you get saved does not, unfortunately, does not prohibit us from going through storms and winds and waves. If that's a surprise, I do feel for you this morning. If that's the first time that you've ever, even heard that, like a Rizal knows. Het jy al een of twee winde ontvang in die lewe? Ligte briesies, nee, ligte briesies. It happens, and it's pretty real. It's as if for me, the storms are quite more fierce than they might have been in the world. But be that as it may, we want to be a people. We want with our families, our friends, our children, our marriages, in our church community, we want to be found on the rock. And that's why we're unlocking, and that's why we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And so we had a look at the Beatitudes. Praise God, I'm not going to regurgitate all of that. Pietri did a brilliant sermon on the end of the Beatitudes, which unfortunately we could not record. Hopefully the recording works now with our new system again, but it was so good, and often when it's so good, the Lord doesn't record it. So those that were here, they were really blessed by it. And so we're moving on today to salt and light. Salt and light. Now we all know this, and I'm going to use a bit of simple pictures just so that we can know what we are called for, and remember we're building towards something. What are we building towards? We want to be salt and light. Why do we want to be salt and light? Because we're going to be found upon the rock. We want a solid foundation for our lives, that if we face the things, that our house does not come tumbling down. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you that our faith will not be based today on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. Thank you. You have blessed us beyond measure already up until this moment. But keep our hearts, keep our minds, keep our spirits before you, Lord, and impart everything that you have got planned for today. Lord, in intercession early this morning, you showed me lots of fruit, Lord. It might mean different things, but I pray that the seed will fall in the right place and the fruit will come in the due season. Lord, we receive this in Jesus' name, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, help us to be light, help us to be salt. Give us fresh revelation today in Jesus' name. Let's jump into Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall the saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled upon under people's feet. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. Gives light to all the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Who's ever been close to a person that's really salty? I'm not saying sweaty. Tasting salty, probably. But somebody that's salty. What happened? Any of you? Who? What? What happened? And you can say, hey, name is. It just clearly stood out. She changed her life. Clear. So she was really salty, and there was something that just through her life, through this person, just changed her life. Anybody else that's been around somebody that's really salty or light? Want to say? Yes.
It's when I was in my third year at university, and I joined my friends to go to the cell of this weird church that they were in, and Gert is the guy's name. Gert, and literally, he was, besides the fact that I was in his cell, and it was really just that there was just a freedom to speak about God, and I left there like, wow, it's actually it's great time just to speak about God. Like, he was being used by CS in so many disciple areas, just discipling other students, just men, just discipling. And literally, you did not leave there not being confronted by something.
I'm just convicted of a testimony that I'm not too fond of sharing, but I have shared it once or twice elsewhere and maybe here. But when I was still in an unsaved form, very unsaved form in Stellenbosch, I was playing rugby for Ace Visser. On Friday afternoons, you'll be playing for your courses or your res. And I played hooker. And I had a groot bek. And I talked a lot. Maybe more talking than playing. But anyway, be that as it may, I was very unfit and very unhealthy. And I was quite a rude character. Praise God, I'm a new creation now. But anyway, on one day we were playing against Simonsburg, and they were kind of rough oaks. And so you wouldn't be thinking that there'll be a saved guy on their team. And we were in a ruck, and something went wrong, and I just ran. And we ran as the play just drifted over the field. We ran away from the ruck, and me and the guy was just haggling about something, and I sweared at him, but like really bad, like really, really, really bad. Continuously sweared at this guy. And he stopped and he turned around and he said to me, "Jesus is lief vir jou." I stopped. Play's going on. We're having this thing now. So we had this bit of a fight, scuffle, run from the ruck. I swear like a matroos. And he tells me, "Jesus is lief vir jou." And I said to him, "Jy doen nie dit nie. You don't do that. This is a fight. You don't say that." But the conviction, he just totally rattled me. That seed got stuck in my soul forever, and I still remember it to the day. Me going off at this guy swearing, like you do if you're in the world, by all means, like you do in res, like you do in Stellenbosch, if you're not saved, like you do on a rugby field. I'm not saying it's right. It was sinful, absolutely. But he stopped, and that shook me. That was the salt rubbing into my wounds at that place, and it spoke to something in my soul. This is a testimony of salt. Let's move on. I've grabbed a couple of, I like different translations, just to see what they say, giving us a bit of context. So let's look at the first two verses in different translations. Matthew 5, verse 13 and 14 in the, what is this? This is the Passion Translation. I think Johan likes this, or is it Edna that really likes this one a lot? Let's look at it. "Your lives are like salt among the people. But if you, like salt, became bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing and will be thrown out and trampled on by others. Your lives light up the world." It's beautiful. Your lives light up the world. There's people that light up the atmosphere. They just walk into a room in a godly sense. "Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop?" Let's look at the Message. No, first the Amplified, apologies. Let's look at the Amplified. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste," I like this, the purpose. Remember this. If the salt has lost its purpose, you think context Christian, myself, walking, journeying, following Christ as a disciple, and keeping your purpose, keeping your saltiness. "If salt has lost its taste or its purpose, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and to be walked upon people on the walkways when it's wet and slippery, like they would do with snow. They would throw out salt so that you can get a bit of grip. But you're not going to use that salt in the road in Canada afterwards in your chips or your fries necessarily. So in other words, it's not of no use no more. "You are the light of Christ to the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And then the next one, the Message. This is also good. There's a couple of good nuggets in just explaining and just getting to grips with what Christ is saying to us here. "Let me tell you why you are here." It's good. Who's ever wondered why they are here? Not here this morning. Like, yeah, yeah. "Let me tell you why you are here." Where? "You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness?" Potent sentence. Potent sentence. I'm going to read it again. Let it strike your heart as it just struck my heart. "If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness?" Bibles aren't floating around billboards. God doesn't flaunt himself and his truth all over the show. We are the Bible to many people. We are the living Christ to many people. We are the saltiness to many people. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your salt, your usefulness, and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. It's beautiful. I had people, when I didn't look the part, where I just got saved after the story I just told you, just got saved a year after that. And I met Hein, and you know Hein, met Edna through the process. The Lord saved me. And those people, the light in them, the Christ in them, were able to bring out the God colors, prophetically speaking, out of my life. They could see, as we sang this morning, they could see things prophetically over my life that, boy oh boy, that nobody would believe, not even my mom. And they could call out the God colors. And we're here to call out the God colors out of each other, but also where we live, where we go. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. As public as a city on a hill. And just on that, maybe social media, that's a good, could be a good example. That's pretty public. But do you shine your light and are you truly salt on something like public media or social media that is public? It is often, I believe, it's my sermons maybe get heard by a couple of people, but my life story through my doing day to day and my going in and out, and then obviously in social media, gets heard and seen by so many more people, and so does yours. Is it salt? And is it light? Can it change? Can it strike a heart like that guy struck me, his words struck me on the rugby field? Can it strike a heart like it does? Now, just quickly going back to that one sentence. You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage pile. But just before that, if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Now in the workplace, are people around you tasting godliness? And guys, we're going to touch on this once or twice, but there's a very fine line between self-righteousness, spiritual pride, and religiosity in the bad sense of the word, and being full of Christ, being full of light, and being salt. Have you ever met a know-it-all Christian that's just so full of themselves more than Christ? Have you? I might have been that Christian. I apologize if it was. Why do you amen, baby? Ek druk hier weer. Ek weet jy het nie van my gepraat nie, broer. But we all can step into that self-righteous trap. The Pharisees did it. They knew the Torah. They knew everything. But they could not recognize Christ. Okay? So the thing is, we need to be careful that we don't step into that. Once the Lord has done a couple of things in your life, He's saved you, He's lifted you up, He's done miracles in your life, be careful not to fall into the self-righteous religious trap of thinking you're a know-it-all. God will surely bring you back to a place of grace. You can ask me, I've got a story to tell, or I've got a couple of stories to tell, how He just draws us back to grace. Now, just maybe a quick testimony, just of where you should be the clunkboard, you should be the compass, you should be the sounding board, or you should be the siren, or you should be the flag to other people, but in a subtle, godly way, not in a self-righteous, prideful way. And so I was working as a lawyer. I'm not going to say when, because people can start figuring stuff out, but in my career, I was working as a lawyer, doing a deal, selling one big business that's got a couple of branches to another couple of people. I think it was 2 or 3 million rand. It wasn't that big deal, but half of the payment was on the contract, and the other half they wanted to do under the table. So I wasn't taking the instructions. I was taking the instructions as a junior, but they were consulting with somebody else, and then I got that information from that person, and I didn't have to do the drafting. And so I was fairly young, but now I had a moment here. I'm not sinning. I don't want to do it, but I need to put it into place, and I need to help other people in doing it. And so it was very easy what I had to do. I need to say, look here, what you're doing is wrong. We're going to sidestep, or we're trying to sidestep some regulations by doing this deal. So I had to stood up to people much more senior, much more influential, both in my life and in spheres of life. And I had to say, well, look here, we cannot do this deal. And so the thing, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I had to take that moment because I needed to be the salt in that moment. I needed to know that this is my personal conviction. I cannot let it go. That's a very simple example. As a lawyer, I also had to, who's ever had to commission the, get a certified copy of an ID? Who loves doing that? It's fun, hey? And usually the first thing we think is, where's the police station or who's the lawyer I know? Now, if I'm the lawyer you know, it means that sometimes we run into trouble. So we were doing deals, big mergers, big acquisitions on multi-million rand companies. They're listed all over the world. It's massive. And they've got CEOs. Who's ever met a CEO? Who is a CEO? Who's ever met a CEO? An MD. Now, if they've been around the block and if they're well-known and influential, they become more or less like a king. Am I right? And so you were dealing with these kings in this game called mergers and acquisitions of millions and millions of rands. And so for some of these deals, you had to get massive lots of paperwork together. But amongst others, often, you need to have certified copies of their IDs. And that's what I did. I'm just sketching the picture to have the context. So it's a very small thing. It's a minute thing. It's like saying that chair, that one there, that chair at the bottom that nobody's sitting on, as part of church, it's like that. That's a small, such a thing as in a big deal. And they will come to me and say, just quickly certify this copy, please, without the ID of the king. So they'll send somebody. And I'm sitting there. Let's say it's a deal of 40 million or a deal of 200 million rand. I need to, this is just that chair in the context of church, it's nothing. But I need to certify this ID without the ID. Now what do? Am I salt or am I pepper? Or am I paprika or am I history? Now I need to say, please tell the CEO, who I know, who I take instructions from, who I know how influential, please tell them I cannot do it. Yeah, but you have seen his ID many times. I know I have seen it, but I'm not seeing it now. It's a very stupid example, but it's a very small space in my context where I needed to be solved. Oh, well, that's so amazing. Have you ever done that? I've driven over a stop street, by the way, just to give balance to my sermon. And I have driven 73 miles an hour, kilometers an hour in a 60 zone. So please don't think I'm boasting. I'm trying to sketch a picture that within your narrative, within your context, you're called to be salt. And sometimes not to be the nice guy or the coolest guy around. Moving on. Quickly turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are God's secret ingredient. This is a bit awkward, nah? Bernard and Ralph staar in mekaar se oë and say, jy is God se secret ingredient, broer. You are God's secret ingredient. We, chef at table view, is part of God's secret ingredient in this area. You are God's secret ingredient in your context. Let's move on. Let's quickly look at salt. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled under people's feet. Here's the brilliant thing. Who's ever felt and who's doing the math at the moment thinking, I'm not pretty salty? Who's done the math? Come on. Some of us thinking, I'm not too salty. I'm not too salty on the road, Jesus. Okay. But here's the beautiful thing. This is the words of Christ, and it is a statement. And if Christ has said something, I like to keep it, and I like to take it. I want to tell you guys, you are the salt of the earth. Not you have to push, you have to become. If you believe in Christ, if you've received the Spirit, if you are born again, I want to tell you, you are the salt. You are the salt. Sorry. It's very simple, but hopefully very effective. So you're the container, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit in you. You are the salt of the earth. There you go. And it's a statement that you need to take home and not think, Lord, constantly thinking that you're short guessing or shooting yourself in the foot or thinking that you're not good enough. You need to realize that I am the salt of the life. If I've been placed in a certain context, if I've been placed in a certain family, if I've been placed in a certain workplace, that is what I've been called to do for the season, unless the Lord obviously shifts you elsewhere. I am the salt because Christ said so. Now quickly, look at this simple picture to me. So, the container, that's me. Some of us might be feeling like this before we obviously got saved. Just don't mind the little bit of salt there. This is an empty one. So some of us look like this before we get saved. And so we get saved and we get all salty after that. Amen? Who feels like this this morning? Who feels like this on a Wednesday? Great. Two of you. Got a long way to travel in this sermon. Thank you, Jesus. So there you are. We're the container. Christ's Spirit inside of us to be salty. I hope it's clean love, but anyway. And then it's going to go into a stew or a soup. If there's any markings there, I do apologize. It looks fairly right. And so that is the earth in our context of our picture. And so for me to be an effective Christian, I can't run around like this because I will have, please, do you sniff the aroma? Do you sense lunch cooking? No. Quentin, speel saam, broer. Ons maak vir kinderkerk, ons bou 'n prentjie hierso. So there's something nice in that. Who likes salt, by the way? Who likes food without salt? Now, we all know the effect of that. Quentin, you've said enough. Thank you. He doesn't like salt. It's not going to work with my picture. And so just imagine that we've got something brewing there that's really good. It's a good soup, a hearty soup. What that one day that it rained this week, I said to Edna, please soup. And she made brilliant soup. And so without salt, it would have been horrible. And so we need the salt to get in there. Getting back to myself being in a container, being filled by the Lord, on the outside of the pot, the earth, the world, to have an influence to bring taste to that. And we need to ask ourselves, where do I find myself in life? With nothing, let's call it nothing, or do I find myself full of the Lord, and will I bring a sense of godliness to this pot? We're going to come back to the pot just now, because we all have different pots, I believe. I need to make sure that I'm in constant connection. You are here this morning. You've had a good time, for the lack of a better godly spiritual term, in worship. Where do you find yourself this morning in walking out of here? Robert, where do you find yourself? Full. Praise the Here, Robert. That's good. That's what I want to hear. So we find ourselves, if you did not pitch up this morning, you watched videos on YouTube and you yawned and had 16 coffees and toast, where would you have been? The other one. Great. Thanks, Robert. You're really a good help. You should sit in front. I told you. And so the intimacy with the Lord and keeping ourselves full is so necessary for having an effect on our pot. Am I right? We're going to get back to the pot later on. Let's quickly look at the attributes of salt. I'm going to read something there. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. Salt that has lost its flavor is foolish, one of the translations says. Now, both the Greek and the Aramaic use a word that can mean either good for nothing or foolish. This will be foolish Christianity. Good for nothing. Or in fact, the salt has just lost its Christianity. It's lost its saltiness. This is more wise. And so it's beautiful how it said that. If salt that has lost its flavor is foolish, then salt that keeps its flavor is wise. Now, that literature there equates salt to wisdom. So Robert is wise this morning in filling up his container himself with more of Christ and of his Spirit, to be salty, to know the difference between right and wrong, to know the difference between light and darkness when he goes out of here and when he goes out into the world tomorrow. So firstly, we see salt here symbolically refers to something that is wise. We are more wise for it if we are keeping full our pots. Then, we are the salt of the world. What happens if I put in too much salt? Edna won't mind me doing this. I didn't ask her permission, but she won't mind. Edna loves salt. Edna loves choppies, and Edna loves chops with... No, she likes chops with her salt. More than she likes salt with her choppies. You get my drift. Do I need to repeat that deep revelation? She likes a bit of choppy with her salt. So usually I find myself not putting too much or enough. The days when we still had chops in the Western Cape, that days, I used to just miss out on not putting enough salt on. And so she would obviously now and again also prepare a dish in our home because she's my wife and she's a chef. So it happens. And then at the beginning, let's say long ago, once or twice she would put in too much salt. The thing is of salt is it touches everything. That's all I want to say. If I put in salt here, it does not stay isolated in one part of the dish. It will ooze through and touch every single part of the dish. Amen? If you put it in, if you just stir it, if it cooks for half a minute, it's going to touch everything. And that's the beautiful thing of salt. It's going to touch everything. With those people that we've been speaking about, at your workplace, in your family, if you're salty, it's going to touch everything. Even that one thing the guy said to me on the rugby field, it touched all of my life. It touched that whole day. In fact, I could remember it that night when we went out to go party. It touched all of my life. So it is with salt. Salt, very, very importantly, preserves. Why do we put so much salt on biltong? Why do we... I'm not the biggest bokkum fan, but I'll probably have. Who eats bokkums? What's bokkums in English? Weird, stinky fish with lots of salt. That's what it's called. That's what it's called now. It preserves. Salt preserves. It preserves Zoe life. It preserves the spirit. It preserves the truth of the Lord. Moving on. It changes and it gives flavor. So it's going to preserve and it's going to give flavor to us. So why do we need to be the salt of the earth? We need to give taste. You need to bring life, the Zoe life, the Spirit alone gives life. It will change everything around you. If you're truly salty, it will change everything. It might take time, but it will change everything. It will preserve the life that there is. Or be it in your small group, in a friendship, or at work, if there's something godly there, it will preserve it. And it will preserve the gospel and the Spirit. Now, quickly test. What is the test for saltiness of being the salt of the world? I want to ask you, how and what do you taste like? What do you taste like? Are you salty in your world? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. I'm salty in part of my world. Remember, it's also my job. So it's more easy maybe for me, you might say. But as a lawyer, when I worked as a lawyer, I was challenged. Because you've got the geel wortel, you've got the carrot of lots and lots of money constantly dangling. Having to chase either that or chase godliness. I'm not saying that you're ungodly if you've got lots of money. Please don't hear what I'm not preaching. Hear my context. For me, it was a battle. The dangling carrot of chasing money, selling every 6 minutes of my life for an astronomical price. Chasing after that or having the saltiness. What is your context and do you find it easy? Do you think you're salty in your context? Do you think you're salty in your pot? Come on, anybody? Amen. Paul, you definitely, there, Paul at the back, if I may say, the shorter one of the Pauls that have recently joined us, but not in spiritual stature, if I may say that. He's told me many testimonies of being very salty Paul at work. But are you salty? Are you still salty at home? Because it's easy to be salty maybe at work, because you're the one Christian there, kind of stand out like a thumb. But are you still at home? To be salty is to be different. To be salty is to preserve. To be salty is to give flavor. To be salty is to touch everything around you in a godly sense. So salt in this context comes from the outside in. Salt in this context is different. Is all different salty? No. Does the Lord and the word here calls me to be peri-peri? Does he say, you are the chili bites, chili flakes of the world? You are the paprika. Amen. You are the paprika. No, it doesn't. So I can't just be my own little cute flavor. I can't just be different for different sake. So I'm just going to come in a speedo to church now because I'm different. I'm salt. No, you pepper. Trek aan vir jou. Be salt. What is salt? Salt is Christ. Salt is the word of the Lord. Salt is not my own little flavor. Does that say that I can't have a personality? No, absolutely not. I'm not saying everybody should look like this on the outside. I'm saying the inside spirit, the salt, needs to be salt. There's one different and one different to the world. There's one, and I'm not called to be paprika. I'm not called to be foie gras. I'm not calling it anything else. I'm called cumin, curry, chili flakes, and all the other different things I wrote down there. Let us note the following. Your lives are like salt among the people. Let me tell you why you are here. You are salt to the earth. Here's another challenge that I thought of this week. Is that who of us are very salty in church? we're kind of not that salty when we're out of church. Who's very salty on a Wednesday night? I didn't say salty, I said salty. And who's not very salty? Who's not very salty? Anyway, we need to wrap this up, guys, and we're only halfway. So please work with me. Be soft. Who of us are only salt when we're around other Christians? Have you ever had a dish? Like Edna's soup the other night. She said, I haven't put in all the preservatives in or all the spices in yet because I tasted it. I'm like, please don't change it. And sometimes we come to church and now we want to be all salt shaky. I'm like, the salt here is fine. Keep your salt for outside. Keep your salt for the bland pots in our culture, in our community, at our neighbor's place, in the schools, in the hospitals. But somehow we've got a bit of a subculture that we're pretty salty when we get together. But we're pretty unsalty when we're not together. And that's just a holy huddle or a clique. And Christ calls us to be kinsmen redeemers, fishers of men. But we're not called only to be salt when we're here in church and look all Christian and act all righteous and back away the chairs and throw stuff in the bin and say hallelujah, praise the Here. We need to do that when other people are looking, when we can affect the world. Coming back to our pots. So we're not called to be salt in the church. We're called to be salt to the earth, to the world. And I want to quickly ask you, what does your pot look like? And what is the Spirit saying to you? Where's your pot? And sometimes we might be frustrated with our pot. Because it might be this, or a quick pan that you need to be salty, but who's ever been in a situation where for 40 years, or 20 years, or for 4 years, you need to just constantly be the salt? Because it's not permeated, it's not touched everything. That's why I had to bring this thing with. Who knows what this is? Yes, it's a slow cooker. Now, some of us have this pot that we need to influence over a year or a season. But sometimes God calls you for the slow cooker. And over the next 10, 20, 30, or 40 years, Stephen, I'm not referring to your job necessarily. This is not a prophetic picture for your job. Or your husband, or your wife, or your kids, you need to just shake it and wait it out. Sometimes your pot, the earth, the area, the context that you need to influence, it's going to take time to get that baby right. And you need to stick to it. You can't go from here starting all very salty and later on saying, well, this local operation, this place, this workplace, this team, this sports team, this mommy's group that I wanted to influence, this church that I wanted to influence, is taking too, this small group that I wanted to influence, is taking too long. God might be putting you in a slow cooker. And then, my favorite, and I think this is what I've been called for. Who can guess this one? Come on. Poiki. It's like a poiki. No, what a poiki. Yes. Sometimes some of us are called for these babies. That's how I, quite frankly, sense much of my road with the Lord. It's a pressure cooker. And sometimes, look here, we need to come from the outside in, and it's not nice being in there. It's not nice being in this context. It's not nice getting stuck in there and you can't get the lid off. You can't run away. Remember, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. But sometimes the Lord says, this is your calling. This is for a season what you need to be doing and being the difference. Being the salt for me is in this. Along with all this wildsvleis en taaigoeders wat met sag raak, you need to get in there. We do this tongue-in-cheek, obviously, but there's different contexts where we find ourselves, and the Lord is just saying, are you willing to be the salt where I've planted you? Are you willing to, if I call you into a slow cooker process and it takes a while, are you willing to be salt there? If I put you in a pressurized environment, especially in your work or relationally, and it sucks, maybe financially, it sucks, but are you willing to stay there to be salt, to be Christ, to live the word in the pressure cooker, to live the word in the slow cooker, to live the word in this other cooker. Let's quickly move on to the light before we end off. You are the light of the world. The city on a hill cannot be hidden. The picture is very much similar, obviously. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Who's afraid to share Christ with people or just the fact that you're Christian? Who sometimes, because there's a spiritual atmosphere or a bit of a stigma, finds it difficult to maybe share or live it out? There's nothing wrong with it, but it happens. In the same way, let your light shine before others. So does this revert to self-righteous works and doing your things and putting it in the paper and taking photos and putting it on Facebook because you did a good deed? No, it's not. It's just saying, when you live Christ, live it before other people and don't be ashamed about it. Don't do it for prideful ways and getting a reward, because our reward is where? The taste is in the eating, but it's only one day. It's not here. Our reward is one day. That they may see your good works and that they can give glory to the chef. No, that they can give glory to the Father, who is the real chef, not to the salt. Often, oh, I love that container. Can I have some of that container? Believe you me, if you find me empty, you will not want me. But if you find me a bit fuller, it makes a bit of a difference. And so it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. The salt in me, the light in me, the hope of glory. Not the retief in the retief. The more I have of myself in me, the less you would like me. Amen? The more I have of Christ in me, the more palatable I might be for you. Moving on. We're going back to salt. Why are we doing that? Quick testimony. We're playing touchies these days. I play touchies with a bunch of guys in Malmesbury for many years, twice, three times a week. It was a legend. It was really good. But it was the spiritual atmosphere, and I'm not judging anybody, was really horrid. So people will swear. There would be like just lots of backbiting and pointing of the finger, lots of swearing. It was just the atmosphere was not good. And now these days we're playing touchies this afternoon at 4 o'clock at Branderpark. This is an ad. But the spirit is different. So it's men with a rugby ball chasing it, touching each other and falling and getting grass burnt. Doesn't seem to be very spiritual. But it's very, very interesting how I note the difference in spirit between the two and the heart of it. I can truly say that the guys around me, not saying that we're perfect, we have our moments, but it's truly that there's light. Stephen, I'm not even going to look that way. But there's a place where there's grace, where there's affirmation, where there's love, where there's camaraderie, where there's actually worrying, are you okay if somebody has torn another hamstring? And it's a very simple thing of doing life. It's our pot. It's our Sunday afternoon pot. Sorry, Ryan. I know this is close to home. I do apologize. But there's a different light. There's a different atmosphere around you. Again, here we can have a quick statement. I want to tell you, you can look at yourself in the mirror. You can say, you are the light of the world. When you go to work, don't question it. When you go drop off your kids at kindergarten or at school or at soccer practice, don't question it. Do you believe in Christ? Yes. Have you received the Spirit? Yes. You are the light of Christ. You are God's light. I've got a light here, but that's not necessary. You know what a light looks like. You are God's light where He sends you. How can we be light? Just quickly, how can we be light? Very simply the same as with salt. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you follow Christ? That's another thing. It's like switching it on. It's one thing confessing, I'm a light, I'm a light. I'm like, please show me. Set them on. And you set them on, but putting on the light is following Christ. There you're picking up your cross and you're following Him every day. And you will have the light of life. Now, Christ is the light of the world, and hence, His light is in us, okay? We see that. But what else do we see is the light to my path, or the lamp to my feet and the light to my path? Again, the Word. Just a quick, just keep your thoughts with me. Christ is the light. We are called to be the light of the world, but Christ is also the Word, and the Word is also light. So you can see beautifully how they all fit together. Christ is the Logos revelation, the full revelation of God, is Jesus Christ, John 1. So Christ is the Word, Christ is the light. And in Psalm 119, I'm just quickly summarizing this because we don't have time. Psalm 119 says in verse 105, "You are the word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And John 1:1, just before that, says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." So it's all intertwined. Do you believe in Christ? Yes. Have you received him? Yes. Okay, great. He is in you and you are in him. Cool. Christ is not only that, but Christ is also the word. What I'm all coming down to in a very, very summarized way is that if I want to be light, I need to believe in Christ, know that he lives in me. And in my context, I need to live out the word. Lord, but how can I be? How can I be light at the rugby club? How can I be light at the gym, Lord? How can I be light at school? How can I be light at work? Very easy, my son. Live the word. Know what the word says and live it. Forgive. Have grace. Give mercy. Go through the Beatitudes. Love. Cover. Forgive again. So, lay down your life. Pick up your cross. Don't point the finger, no malicious speaking, no judgment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. It's all in you to be light in your context. Will you stand with me? Just keeping the loss. Couple of things, because I think the message is in our hearts. But we might just end off with what Paul said. He said to live is Christ. In other words, in our context today, you can say to live is light. Because Christ lives in me. And I have the word of God. Philippians 1 verse 20 says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, will have complete boldness, so that now, as always, Christ will exalt in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. And who is Christ? Christ is the light of life. Where does the light of life live? He lives inside of me. To live for me is to live the light of Christ. For you to live is to live the light of Christ. Is it easy? No, we didn't say it. Where does light shine, guys? In light? In church? In darkness? Surprise! Lacquer! Sorry, I'm making light of it. Excuse the pun. But that's what we've called for. You called for the darkness. You have been called for the darkness. But the light has overcome the darkness. Light in you has overcome the darkness around you. I want to prophesy this, whatever your context. The light in you has overcome the darkness around you. Let's pray. Christ, thank you that you are ultimately the salt in me. You are ultimately the light in me. Christ, thank you that you are ultimately the light and the salt in all of us. Thank you. We take off all religious pressure to perform. To be something that we can't be. To be light that we can't be. But we say, we give you full reign to be salt through us and light. If that's your prayer, just very simply, to be salt and to be light, and for Christ to fully be that through you, just raise your hand. Just an act of acknowledgement and faith. Thank you, Lord, for all of these hands. Thank you for all of these confirmations that saying, Lord, we cannot do it in our own. We cannot be salt and light. We cannot be righteous in and of ourselves without the Holy Spirit, without the world of God, but we can just say yes. Please come and do it through me. Please come and be salt through me. Please come and be light through me. Holy Spirit, come now. Come now. You know the future. You know the callings and the mandates. You know the hearts of these people. Come in their context. In, I want to say in their language, in their tongue. Lord, be salt. Come and be light. Even where it's difficult. Even where it's tough. Holy Spirit, come and show us the ones that we can work on with you. Is it the slow cooker? Is it the pressure cooker? Is it the pot or the pan? Where are the places that you want to come and open up? Where are the places that you want to come and flavor, preserve, and bring life in our world? Is it my street? Is it my friendships? Is it my social media? Is it my family and my marriage? Is it my kids? Is it my kids' school? Is it the place where I chill? Is it the place where I drink coffee? Is it the place where I gym? Is it the place where I run? Where do you want to come and be, Christ? Where do you want to come and preserve? Where do you want to come and influence? Where do you want to come and bring life? In Jesus' name. I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to you now. And in this time of where He wants to come and be salt and light. Lord, thank you that for us as a church as well. Thank you that we'll be effective salt not only in here, but effective salt when we go out of here. I pray that we will not come and have nice lights in here, but that we will be lights when we go out of here. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you will do that in this season. I pray for every small group to be a light. I pray for every member to be a light. I pray for every family to be a light. I pray for every one of our children to be a light. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the blood of Christ over us, and thank you for the seeds that you've sown this morning. In Jesus' name. Now go be salt and light. God bless. Please have some coffee. If you've got questions or you need prayer, please come and chat to me. God bless.